feel like the Lord's given me a burden. I've had this for quite some time, but it's about being thankful. So this would be a good time to share this little burden. I'm going to write some on the board. The Lord's kind of given this to me in a little graph, maybe. So I'll explain what I'm doing. I'm going to make a middle line. And we're going to go from here upward or from here downward, depending on how we think and how we react here. I'm thinking about Thanksgiving and how, if you would ask people today, are you thankful? You have pretty much kind of a one side or the other, where you would have people who recognize their blessings, and then you have people who may not recognize their blessings. So you have people who can see the things that are good in their lives, and that person is usually pretty thankful because they can recognize, they can enumerate, they can tell you, well, I've got this and I've got this. And you know, a lot of people do recognize their blessings. They may not be even Christians, but they're at the level where they can recognize their blessings. So this is kind of where I would say people are, where we recognize. Our blessings. I was thinking of the story in the Bible about Eve. Can you think of some of the blessings that Eve and Adam had? Well, really, just think about it. At the time where the serpent beguiled Eve, what were her blessings? Now, she didn't have... You couldn't say that Eve had the blessings of family. She had Adam. She didn't have children. But she had blessings. She had Adam. She was helped to a mate that God had made her for. What else? What other blessings did she have? She and Adam had dominion over the animals. They didn't. Yeah, there was no fear. That's a wonderful thought. She had all she needed to eat. There was nothing that she lacked. As far as clothing, she wasn't aware of a need for clothing. In that state that God created them, completely pure and innocent, and completely warm and comfortable. There were no nature elements that were disturbing. There was no fear. There was only security. Did Eve recognize all the things that she had, for which she should have been very thankful? What did the enemy who came to her, what did he capitalize on? The one thing that she could not have or did not have available. And you know what? That's what the devil will capitalize on with people. We either can recognize and number our blessings, or we don't really see them. So I'm just going to put that on the bottom side here. I've thought a lot about the children of Israel because I've been working with a Bible lesson booklet on the history of the children of Israel. And there were so many things that happened on their journey from Egypt. They were in bondage in Egypt. They were sighing and crying. They had their they had no liberty. They had no they were having to kill their babies, their sons. You can think of all the things that were happening to them. They were made to work hard. The term that the prophets and later writers used for Egypt was the iron furnace. The iron furnace. They were made to put bricks into that hot furnace and slave in the sun. And you think about those pyramids and the huge blocks of stone that were used to make those things. And very possibly, and most probably, those Hebrew slaves used their own muscle and grit to haul those blocks, to hew them out of stone and to haul them into place and to put them higher and higher and higher. It's just unthinkable what they had to go through. Well, God came and he heard their cries and he sent them a deliverer. And Moses came to tell them, God has sent me to bring you out of Egypt. What was their condition was so bad they couldn't even recognize that blessing. They, at first, they rejected it. They didn't trust in it. They suspected it. They didn't recognize it. And so they rejected it at first. And there was 40 years went by of more labor. And you know, during that 40 years, God dealt with them. They had been involved in worship of those Egyptian idols. And God dealt with those people. And they began to cry a cry that was a lot better. And the next time in 40 years, Moses came back and he was ready. Now Moses was ready and the people were ready. Well, when God delivered them and they came out of Egypt, the first obstacle they met, what did they do? They came to the Red Sea. The Pharaoh's army was right behind them and the mountains were on either side and the sea was in front of them. And what did they do? They complained. They began to murmur. They cried out against Moses and accused him of bringing them there to kill them. That was their first murmurings. And you know, they went on until there were 10 different times where they murmured and complained against God. And each time God had to send judgment and punishment for that thing. You read those stories about the Israelites and we begin to see how grave of a thing it is to give thanks to God for his blessings and how serious it is to murmur. It is, I began to be more and more aware of the importance that there is in God's sight on us recognizing and giving thanks for our blessings. So I have this that I want to write here. So after you recognize it, then you have grateful heart, and those who do not recognize it are not thankful. And then I'm just going from a recognition to a feeling. There's some people that just kind of stop there. They really don't at that point consider themselves a bad person. But it's easy for us to just not see our blessings and not feel a thankfulness in our heart. Maybe we don't grumble, but we just don't express a thanksgiving. But I believe the Lord wants us to go ahead and go from that place where we feel a gratefulness to where we express it. So a little step higher than just feeling a grateful feeling. Give thanks and praise. You know, a lot of us, we can feel a gratefulness, but going from that step to where we express it, that can be a little hard for us. Sometimes we don't know how to do that. We don't know when to do that. But I want to encourage us this morning. The Bible is full of commands and encouragements to not just feel gratefulness, but to express it, to praise the Lord, to say thankful. And I'm thinking not just to God, but primarily to God, but for everything in your life. It would be good for us to cultivate a spirit where we just breathe out, where what manifests itself in our lives is constantly a thanksgiving and a praise. I was reading about Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, it tells about how that when he was there in Babylon, and the kings had come and gone, and he was now under the king Darius. In Daniel 6 and 10, I noticed this. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. This Daniel, the scripture says, I believe in, let's see. One place it says that in Daniel was an excellent spirit. I believe that thanksgiving and praise is part of having an excellent spirit. It's the expression of an excellent spirit. Someone who's very thankful, they express it. And to others too. It's good to express thanks for just little things in your life. Little things from your children, little things from your spouse, little things to your parents. Children, if you will cultivate this in your life, always say thank you. Always say, I appreciate. Recognize the things that are in your life. Recognize, well, I don't have this, but I have this. And begin as a young person. And I believe this really does start. It starts with youth. And I want to show you how it can progress into more and more and more blessings as it goes on. A part of an excellent spirit is to pray and give thanks to the Lord. Why? Psalm says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. That's actually being thankful for a quality of someone, not for the things that they've given, but because you recognize a quality about some. How many of us recognize the goodness of God? How many of us feel down deep in our hearts, if somebody pinned us down, how do you really feel about God? Do you really believe this morning that he's a good God? Or do you have a thought, well, he's kind of after me. He's just kind of on my case. I don't think God really cares for me. You know, down inside, then you don't really believe that he's a good God. Being thankful for his goodness. And I've had the Lord before in a time of worship. I remember a time it was soon after we moved here. But I remember we kept, seems like it's been our lot to entertain guests and have lots of visitors. And I remember one time that I was so busy, and I knelt down at the foot of my bed, And I just kind of slumped down. I just kind of sank down and I said, Lord, I've got to go in and fix a meal. I can't stay here an hour. But I wanted to worship you and I want to thank you. And I just wish I could just sit at your feet and just worship you a little bit. But you know I've got to get up and do this. And it seemed like the Lord just opened a curtain. It just, to me, in my mind, it's like a little curtain went back a little ways. And I began to see God. I saw His holiness and His wisdom and His power and His goodness and His love. And it was so amazing and so wonderful. For about 5 minutes, it's like that little curtain opened and then it went back. And I was able to worship and it rejuved my spirit. It just renewed me. And I jumped up from there and went in and made a big old breakfast for my guests. All I needed to do was just know my blessings. Just recognize, oh, this is who God is. I've never forgotten that. That's been a blessing and a help from time to time to just begin to, when you need a start for your prayer, talk about a quick start lighter fluid or little quick start pellets for your stove or whatever. This is a quick start to a whole hour of prayer, is to begin to recognize and enumerate what God's given you, but not only that, what God is, who He is, His attributes, the character, and what, when He reveals it to you, it just, I tell you, that was a blessing that I will never forget. So give thanks and praise. Well, what's the opposite? What is the opposite? Somebody doesn't see their blessings and deep inside they have no thanksgiving, really. What do they do? This person that's grateful gives thanks and he praises God. What does this person do?
Complains and grumbles.
That's right. I'm probably going to run out of room here because I'm... Grumble and complain. Oh, what a picture. Which one do you want to be? Just three steps into either side, and I know which one I want. I know which side I want to be on. Now, Psalms 116 has a verse that's kind of, maybe this would be my text verse today, but Psalm 116 and 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Now, you would think it would say, give thanks and praise. But it's a little surprising. It's a little different, and I've thought about this. And it says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Let's say that I have carefully wrapped, I've made my own bow, and I have created a beautiful gift for you. I have put a lot of time into it, maybe a lot of money. And it's something that I want you to use. It's something that I want you to have to help you in your life. And I spent a lot of time and I cared enough about you to think about you, and I bring it to you. I bring you the gift, and you take it and you say, thank you. And then, you just go put it somewhere. And you don't ever look at it. You don't ever take it out. You never use it. Time goes by, and maybe I'm one of those nosy people that wants to know how you're doing with my gift. You got that out there? You're using it? You know? You haven't given me a thank you card yet. Well, you say, oh, I forgot about it. Let me go get it. You go get it and you bring it to me and it's never been unwrapped. It's covered with dust or mold. Now, you said thank you. But are you... You've expressed thanks. But what really would give me pleasure and make me feel like you were thankful is if you got it out of the box and you used it. That's what God wants us to do. God says, I've given you salvation. I've handed you a cup, and this was purchased with my own blood. I've given you something that will help you in all of your life. I've given you the privilege of calling upon me for help any time you need it. And you said you were thankful, but you never call on me. You never have explored the depths of what I've given you. You don't know what I died for. You don't know the victory. You're still in your sins. You don't even know. And David said here, I will take the cup of salvation. And so that's the next step. To me, it's a very important step, is to accept the gift. And use it. Now, what's the opposite of that? Children, you help me with that. What's the opposite? When the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he had a plan. And Psalms, it says, you waited not for my counsel. And what that means is, you did not give me time to work out my full plan. You waited not. You didn't last me out. You didn't endure through some of the things where, like one scripture says, after you've endured for a while, you will receive the promise. That was exactly what he brought the children of Israel through, a few obstacles and a few difficulties. And then in just a few weeks or whatever, he was to give them the land. And so they sent the spies into the land. 10 of them came back with a bad report. The old land God wants to give us. You can't live in that. There's giants in there. There's walled cities. Yes, we brought back these grapes. It took two of us on a pole. Put the grapes on this pole, and it took two of us to carry this bunch of grapes. Yeah, there's nice things there, but we can't live there. This is all God gave us. They came back. And they despised. That's what the scripture says. You despised the land of your inheritance. I'm not sure just where that is. I believe that's in the Psalms. Let me see if I can find it. Yes. Psalms chapter 106 in verse 23 or 24. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. Now, not only did they not accept, not only were they not thankful, they didn't feel grateful. They didn't recognize their blessings. They didn't feel thankful. They didn't express thanksgiving. Do you ever read in the scriptures in Exodus, Leviticus, or Numbers where the people had a volunteer praise service? Let's just all get out here and praise the Lord for our deliverance from Egypt. Ladies, let's get together. We're going to sing and we're going to have a praise service. And the men, brothers, we need to be thankful we're not in those furnaces. You don't read about that. I don't know. I hope they did some of that. Maybe they should have said, oh, isn't it wonderful that we're not having to get up and go to those brickyards? My back never quit hurting. It was so hot all day long. Aren't you glad we don't have to work in those? Did they ever do that? They never felt thanksgiving. They never said thanksgiving. They didn't accept the gift and use it. All they did was murmur and want to go back. Murmur and want to go back. Scripture says in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. I wonder this morning if we really have explored the depths of salvation and are using the precious gift that he's given us and calling upon him and cherishing that gift, or are we despising the gift? That's what they did. They despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. What a terrible thing. They'd despised the land that was flowing with milk and honey. It was a good land. It was a pleasant land. If you've ever read about the fertile land there on that portion of Jordan, between Jordan and the mountains, between the the mountains, between the Great Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, that whole valley the Lord had given to them. He wanted them to accept it. I wonder how it would have been if at that time that the spies went over, it was just a little time after they had come out of Egypt. They wouldn't have had to wander in the wilderness if they had just been thankful. If they had just said, oh, we're so thankful for this land. We know there's going to be a lot of trouble. See, Caleb and Joshua, they said, we're well able. The Lord is able to help us. We can do that. We're well able. But the people said, we're not able. So that's actually a part, or actually maybe a byproduct or so, you might say, of being unthankful. They'd never been grateful. They weren't thankful in their hearts. And so when God gave them this pleasant land, they despised it. So that's what happens when you complain and grumble and we despise it. Despise the gift and throw it away. What happens then when they did that? What really did they go to when they despised the pleasant land and threw it away? This says in Psalms, it says, they joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. The next step really for that is that you begin to seek after something else besides God and besides what He has for us. When we throw away salvation, the heart needs something. The heart was created to worship. And so when you throw away God's salvation, then your heart is just going to go after its different lusts and pleasures. You seek other gods. And I'll just put that here. What a sad thing when people have thrown away the thing that God has given them and they begin to seek other gods. But let's think about something that's good. What do we do when we have accepted God's gift and we begin to use it? We begin to call upon the Lord and we are grateful. What do we do? What is just the overflowing? What happens next? Yes, we begin to cherish it, we treasure it, we tell others about it. That's just is the overflowing of what happens. We begin to tell others. So I'm not doing this very neatly. I wish I had a little squisher. I could squish my writing. So we begin to cherish and tell about it. And we begin to share. I put that as a different step. But really, it's the same. It's the same step. What was it that the Israelites did? Did they... You know, I believe that if they would have been the people of thanksgiving and worship to God as they should have, it was God's plan for them to reach the world. For through them was to come the Savior, but also through them to teach the world about the true God. They didn't do that. They weren't able to share the good news about God and the gospel. Instead, they went and joined themselves to the heathen. That's what happened to them. If you don't share the good things about God, you're most likely to seek after and become low as the ones that you should be trying to reach. That's what happens to us. So, another thing that happened to them, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You can read about it here. Chapter 10, verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they lusted, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. We're down here where the end of time is. That's what he said, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Where the New Testament church is clear down at the end of time. These were the Old Testament church. They were back more toward the beginning. But these things were written. It was written and saved for us that we may be admonished. It says, therefore, examples, and they're written so we can be admonished. We may look at it and learn a lesson. But here's what they became, and I notice this about people. I notice it about myself. I am looking for other things to fill my life, and they become gods to me. But what else I do is you begin to become grasping and covetous. I really believe we can keep from covetousness by being very grateful. It's sad to see a person go from having many things that God has given them to just being somebody who's a grasper, just somebody who's just pinching and grasping and grumbling and complaining. But even more than that, always wanting more, always out for a buck, always looking for the bargain. And I'm not against looking for bargains, but there's a spirit that overcomes people where they're not satisfied, where they're always wanting more, just like that. Their spirit becomes, and I just call it grasping, just there's something that's not satisfied in them that's wanting more. So they want more and more. And the scripture says, 1 Timothy 6. That leads to this. It says, verse 8, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So why do we grasp and grab? He says here in verse 9, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. This is what happens. We become grasping and covetous, and then we become lustful, and more than that, just serving different lusts and pleasures. You see that. We see that in the world, but you know, we can really take a lesson and avoid that by being thankful, expressing thanks, giving praise to God, and taking His gift and using it and enjoying it and calling upon Him and cherishing it and loving it and sharing it with others. That keeps us from all of these things. To me, it's almost self-defeating to come to a person that's serving the lusts and the pleasures of their life and say, hey, we want you to go and tell others about salvation. They can't do that. They don't have that type of spirit or attitude. People have to come back to the realization, this is what God has done. This is what God has offered me, and come back to that and realize it and accept it and be grateful for it. But a person who has been thankful, they've been saved and they're cherishing the gift, then what? I think there's another step that's even more than that. When you see God, when you see His goodness, when you see His holiness, what did it make Isaiah do there in Isaiah chapter 6? Isaiah saw the Lord. What did he do? He did. He worshiped, but he said this, "Here am I. Send me." This is what I really believe that thanksgiving and praise and worship brings about. It brings about a willingness and a consecration. Lord, I realize the depth of your gift for me and what it cost you to bring me salvation, and I want to live for you. And you have needs, you have places where people can serve you. Let me serve you. Lord, send me. Here am I. What do you want me to do? That's what happens to us when we really see the Lord, when we recognize what He's done and who He is, and we're thankful, then we consecrate. I'll just write that because I'm going to need some more room. We consecrate to the Lord and begin to serve Him. And you know what that does? When you consecrate to the Lord, you know what? It just... the Lord begins to bless. He begins to bless your life. He begins to pour more things into your life. But down here where you've got people that have become lustful and they're serving different kinds of lusts and pleasures, it's like their blessings of their life begin to dwindle. People get in real bad straits. They begin to get into trouble. Their lives are not blessed by the Lord. The Lord begins to blow up on all the things that they've grabbed after, and they begin to dispel. You've seen this happen. I've seen it happen. Truly, it's the Lord doing it so He can turn their hearts back to Him who is the source of all blessings. But when they've turned away from the source, Jeremiah said to the people, he said, my people have, well, God said through Jeremiah, my people have committed two evils. Where is that? That's Jeremiah 4, I think. Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed two evils. The first one is, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they've hewed themselves out cisterns. What kind of cisterns? Did they have nice cisterns that they could go get their own water and they were fine because I've got my own water, I don't need the Lord? What was it? They've hewed themselves out cisterns. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. That is truly the lives of people who have forsaken the Lord, have trying to find something to eke out an existence. And that's really all people do, is that they exist. They really, and people would maybe, they would might contest you about that. They might put up little grateful signs, and they might make the appearance of, we have so much, and maybe literally they do, but there are people who have, it looks like, a lot of physical and financial blessings who don't have real blessings. Real blessings of peace, joy, peace in the home, care when they're sick, divine help when they're weak, victory over them, their weaknesses and failures and faults. They don't have all of that in their life. I know people today who have beautiful homes and a lot. They go out to eat at exotic restaurants and they have take exotic vacations. But in the insides of their homes, inside the walls of their homes, they don't love one another. They don't get along. It's chaos. That's not where the blessing is. They don't. When we forsake God, we don't have the many blessings. So I'm just going to put on here more blessings. And it starts the cycle all over again. And I have found, actually the Lord gave me this little thought back when we first got married. I could see the things that, as I began to thank the Lord for a happy marriage and all of the things the Lord had given us, it generated a thanksgiving and praise, but also a consecration. Lord, what can we do for you? Help us to be of service to you. We just give our lives to you. You've done so much for us. And then that just, when you do that and you begin to yield yourself to the Lord, then there's more blessings. Oh yes, there's opposition from the enemy. And the enemy is going to try to get you back to this place again, where you're looking at your problems and your troubles and you think, well, okay, so this is what I get for consecrating to the Lord. Don't listen to the enemy. Start this again. Start right here. Recognize the blessings. Well, you know, we've been working for the Lord. This thing and this thing and this thing has happened. And it will. We'll have obstacles. People, things, finances, losses, pains, sicknesses, afflictions. And some people, I remember in my youth, I heard a man say, well, we thought that Jesus said, if you'll follow me, I'll give you houses and lands. And we're just still over here living at this address. And it was the wrong side of town, they thought. And they didn't feel like that they had what Jesus had promised. And so they went looking for something else. Their marriage broke up. Now they're facing old age. And still, the enemy destroyed their home. They don't have those blessings of together shared years of old age with children and grandchildren. They don't have that. Just think about the enemy would like at any time to just get us to start this. And it'll just deteriorate. There's just a progression of bad things that begin to happen. But if when we begin to consecrate and the Lord gives blessings and he gives trials along with blessings, we may have some losses, we may have sickness, death, we may go through a lot. But if we'll begin to praise the Lord and be grateful and recognize the things that we do have, the things that still remain, that will begin all over again. The Lord will begin to bless. He will begin to bless and satisfy the desires of our souls, of our hearts. Well, then, so I need to write that down here. We begin to miss. Miss the true blessings. And I've seen this happen to people progressively, and down here toward the ends of their life is where they begin to notice this. And that right around that point is a lot of times where people come back to God, because they realize, I have pursued other gods, I have gone away from God, and look where it's got me. Now I'm old and broken and sad and lonely. I need God. You know, it's so wonderful that at that time in life, God doesn't say, sorry, you rejected me. So many times God brings them back, doesn't he? God says, you may, I'll give you forgiveness. I'll give you, I'll restore many of the joys and stuff that they forfeited. The Lord restores that many times. Sometimes you still have to suffer the losses that you got out in sin. But the Lord is so merciful to help people. But if that doesn't happen, people do this. They become bitter. They lose hope. And of course, we know what Satan really wants. He wants for people to just decide that they don't want to live. And you have people that go all the way to the bottom. And a lot of times, and it doesn't have to be an older person. I've seen teens. And even people in their 20s and 30s decide, I have too many troubles. There's no hope for me. It'd be better if I were dead. It'd be better for everybody. And so they take their life. That's really the progression of a life that doesn't see and recognize and appreciate and use God's blessings and offer themselves to God and begin to seek other things and go out after this world. They may not realize I'm in a spiral. They may not know it at all. I'm just in a spiral going down. Maybe we don't realize either that when we accept the Lord and recognize what he's done and begin to give our lives to him, we don't maybe realize and appreciate the upward spiral that we've gotten ourselves into. How that there's blessings and there's more and there's hope and there's victory and there's better things and there's help for us and there's healing and there's, and it just goes up and up and up in our lives. It gets better and better and better. It really does. Things that bother you when you're young, things that maybe you have conflict with, you keep going. You keep going, you keep believing, you keep trusting. After a while, you're going to turn a corner, and I've done this. I've thought, you know what? This used to be such a trial, but it's not anymore. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord. And I begin to realize I'm free from that. And I always used to wonder, what would it be like not to have to deal with this anymore? But you just keep going. You just keep walking with the Lord. And he begins to give you more and more and more and open your understanding and give you strength in your will against temptations and things. And after a while, you realize the Lord has blessed me in that way. And that generates then thanksgiving, which goes, go on. Lord, thank you for what you've given me. I just want to give myself to you. Help me to serve others. You've served me so much. You've given me so much. And it just goes on and on. It's just like a well of wonderful, living, beautiful water. So that's what happens. You have more blessings. I'm going to go this way now. You have more joy, victory, peace. All those things are wonderful. And you just keep going. Think about my dad. Different ones of his loved ones and friends said that he was the most thankful person that they knew. He began to be thankful for really simple things. Just a little bit made him overjoyed. And sometimes maybe we'd think, oh, that's just kind of childish. But you know, that was the progression in his spirit. As he got older, as he got feebler, his spirit became more and more thankful for what he had until he was praising. Those were some of the last things he did on earth, was praise and thank God. And then his spirit just went on to join everlasting praise. You know, joy, there's a quality about God's joy. And he spoke about it several times. What's the word that he used to describe his joy? Everlasting. It never ends. Love also never ends. Love and joy are everlasting qualities that when God, who is the source of those things, when he puts those into our lives, he means for them, and they will, if we will continue walking that way, it will just increase, and it'll increase in our souls. It's an everlasting kingdom. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we have that when we see what God did for us. We need to recognize this morning what the Lord did for us on Calvary. Every once in a while, go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to refresh me again about what you did when you died for me. What does it mean for me? And I believe that's one reason why he wants us to have the ordinance service. He wants us to have a memorial and to think about it on a yearly basis, or maybe even more times, but especially like an anniversary, to remember it and to think about it. This is what the Lord did for us. And really, that scripture that I read to you in Psalms, I will take the cup of salvation and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I read that that's what the Israelites would do. They would repeat that verse as they took the cup and the unleavened bread. And they would repeat that verse. Lord, you've done so much for me. I will take the cup of your salvation. I'll live for you. I'll call upon your name. I'll walk with you. I'll go with you through the garden and to the cross, Lord, and I'll give my life to you. That's what he wants from us today. I think it'd be kind of neat if we had ordinance service Thanksgiving week. But that's my little personal deal. But the Lord has a very happy ending for this person. What is it? It's heaven. Now, you see the two lives. Which one would you rather have? To me, there's really no question. I believe that I'd rather go this way than this way. There's so much on this life that we see around us from day to day. We see people's lives are just this way. Grumble, complain, lust, desire. Can't have, grumble, complain, more and more trouble until there's just a bitter end. But thank the Lord this morning. There's so many scriptures about these things. The one there in Romans where he said, because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Let's see. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And then it tells the progression of their sinful lives, the lust that they got into, the imaginations, the foolishness, the uncleanness. Oh, aren't people doing that today? They are doing this today. Worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And it just goes on and it goes on and tells the progression of those things in their lives. But I'd rather think about the upward progression. It seems like when I was thinking about this message and the children of Israel and the folly and their unthankfulness and their disobedience and their doubt and all of that, the Lord began to give me this other picture. It brought it back from when we were first married. He had given it to me back then. And I thought, well, this is what we need to really focus on. Amen. Pray for me.